Again, good morning. Good morning. Let's start our service by singing our opening hymn, Lift High the Cross. And at this time, would you welcome each other in Christian love by passing the peace? We're glad you're all here this morning and hope that you'll register your attendance in the pads that are on the pews and you'll pass them down. That'll be put in the offering plates later on. I would just like to call your attention to a few announcements. One is that this evening we have a very special service, which is a tradition here at Main Street, called the Hanging of the Greens. It starts at 6:30, but you need to be here by 6:15 because you don't want to miss the prelude that will be played, the beautiful music that comes before the program starts. So come in tonight to start the Christmas season properly with hymns and celebration tonight. Also, we're asking if you have coats in your closet that you are not using. Our coat closet desperately needs coats. As of last night, we know that winter has arrived and people are going to be needing these coats. So if you have coats that you can donate, please drop them off at the church office. On December the 4th, this is an announcement that's in your bulletin, but the date is missing. On Saturday, December the 4th, we'll have breakfast with Santa and a silent auction from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And so you can see the details there, but it is Saturday, December the 4th, which is next Saturday. And also, we have a medical missions luncheon that's coming up on next Sunday, December the 5th, and tickets can be purchased through the church office, or Emmy says if you'll just call her at the church office, she will reserve tickets for you, and all of the proceeds will go to benefit the Honduras mission trip that will be coming up. We welcome you here this morning. We hope your hearts will be blessed as we welcome the Lord. please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Awaken to a season of anticipation. God is offering peace within and among us. How good it is to gather in God's house. God draws us together for this time of worship. God calls us to celebrate our diversity. Differences shall no longer divide us. We want to see one another through God's eyes. We will look for the good in our neighbors. Seek the highest and the best for each other. Come to the mountain of God's love. We will follow in the paths where God leads. Our ears are open to hear God's instructions.
Awaken us from sleep and led us to this place, wondrous God. Now let us feel your presence with us as we encounter you. Surely you have blessed us. You have drawn us together and bound us firmly to one another. We give you thanks for giving us identity as relatives and friends through Jesus Christ. In this season, we remember expected appearance among us, the birth of a child. You make yourselves known to us again and again, that we know you now. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price.
Reverend Martin and congregation, I present Julia Elizabeth Meredith, Matthew Teague Meredith, and Margaret Calhoun Dorn for baptism.
To the parents, I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If you will, say, we will.
We will.
To the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include these children now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic
Church, the communion of saints, the
resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you raised those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the cloud a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them through the sea. Their children, you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and they who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in His final victory. What is the name of the child?
Julia Elizabeth.
Julia Elizabeth. Julia Elizabeth, I baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come around. Matthew Teague, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what is her name?
Margaret Calhoun.
I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. I don't know what to say. That water can wake up a bit. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sisters and brothers in Christ. If you will continue to read along in the insert, through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We're all one in Christ. Joy and thanksgiving. Members of the household of God, I commend these children to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. That in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. This is Julia. Come on, you'll come with me. You know what I'm talking
about? Don't take a walk.
Come on, let's walk. Come on. This is our newest member. Members, plural. Go ahead, walk with me. The world is going to say that they're not loved, and you're going to say, yes, you are. We love you. The world is going to say, give me your child. We'll say, you can't have them. Been bought with a price. Some of you are going to prepare a covered dish meal for these children. Some of you are going to teach them. Some of you are going to have them in the angel choir. Some of you are going to be responsible to nurture them and care for them. And we're going to say that they're our children. They've been bought with a price, redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Christ has said, suffer the children to come to me, and these are ours. I just want to say that this is the 16th child that has been baptized with this gown. All 16 are here. How many of you were baptized with this gown? Raise your hand. And today, the song that is sung for her is a song that has been given to her as her song for the rest of her life. And all the children in the family know this child's song. And so,
When the world says, give her to me, we say, you can't have her. She's been bought with a price. She's ours. The world's going to say, you're not pretty. And we're going to say, yes, you are. Right? The world's going to say, you're not smart enough. We're going to say, yes, you are. You're ours. And we take the responsibility to raise and to nurture our children in the faith. Amen? Listen now to her song, as sung by her uncle.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. To all life thou givest, to both great and small. To all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Thou reignest in glory, thou dwellest in light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. Ah, Lord, we would render, oh, help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
Isaiah 2, 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Today we light the first Advent candle, the candle of hope, and we begin to wait.
We are looking forward to something special. What can it be? When is it going to happen? When we light this candle, we watch, wait, and hope. This candle reminds us that the prophet Isaiah was longing for God's presence too. It reminds us that the people in the early church were also longing for God's presence. This candle is a symbol for our own longing for God to be with us. We wait in hope for God to surprise us and break into our lives.
Oh God, come travel with us through Advent. Give us courage to spread hope in the world. Amen. Thank you.
sounds like the ghost of Christmas past, doesn't it? I received a note this morning that Mary Bauer had passed away and that Marilyn Sheridan's mother had passed away, and so we want to remember them in our prayers. As you see the list in our bulletin, and I know we continue to pray for Jay and for his family during this time. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Majestic God, King of kings, Lord of lords, Babe of Bethlehem, we come to you this day as we start afresh our journey of the church year, a journey of hope and anticipation, a journey that gives thanks and praise to you for these our children, whom we have affirmed this day with their parents and this great heritage of faith. We pray, dear God, that the Christ child and the hope that he brought to this world will be born in us afresh, that we will live in wonderful anticipation of that which has not yet happened, but which will come to pass. We pray, Almighty God, for these whose names have been mentioned in our hearing, for those who have lost loved ones, for those who now abide in your great habitation, for those who are sick, we pray, dear God, that you will touch them. And especially are we reminded on this holiday season of those who are traveling and those who have come to be with us, for our college students and others as they now enter into the stretch, so to speak, of academic stresses and demands, of papers that are due and finals that are coming. Holy God, be with them as they study and apply themselves in preparation for the future. And be with us, O God, as we live out our faith in front of them, as we give testimony to that which is birthed within our heart and soul. Again, for those who are away from home during this time, for military personnel, for missionaries and ministers, we know that this is a heartening time to be away from home and friends. We pray again for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of the world, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be carried to all ends of this world, that individuals become believers in that one which is the Prince of Peace, who does rule and reign in our hearts. Be with our leaders, bishops, president, those in Congress as they guide our nation, praying as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithing offerings. Ushers, come please.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we are reminded of those wise men that came so many years ago bearing gifts to the Christ child, we bring these gifts this day. And not only the gifts in these plates, but we bring our lives. Give them to the Christ child and say, use these, all of these, for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Bless giver and gift, and those who chose not to give this day, but may they still give of their lives. In whose name we pray, the name of the Christ child of Bethlehem. Amen.
You may be seated, and will the children please join me at the front for the children's message? Let me in here. There we go. Thank you. Oh, good morning. How are you this morning? It is a brand new year. Now, it's not January, but it's a brand new church year. And what's the season?
Advent.
Absolutely. I bet you're in the angel choir, aren't you? Yeah. And can somebody tell me, do you remember what Advent means, Cecilia?
It means, like, getting ready before Jesus is, like, born.
That's what we do during that season. Yeah, absolutely. Do you remember exactly the word that Advent means? Anybody remember? It means coming. Or beginning, yeah. And who's coming? Jesus is coming, that's right. And when Jesus showed up, did he show up as a grown man or as a baby?
Baby.
A baby. So we're getting ready for the baby to arrive. You know something? I know a few things about getting ready for a baby to arrive. And you know why? Because 7 months ago, yesterday, a new baby entered my life. It was my grandson. My first grandson. 7 months ago yesterday, my daughter Grace gave birth to a little boy, and his name was Noah. And we had been waiting for Noah for a while, and we were getting ready for Noah. We knew that Noah and his parents were going to be living with us, and so there was lots of getting ready to do, because Noah needed a place to stay, a place that was safe and a place that was warm. So there was furniture to buy, and clothes to buy, and diapers to buy, and more diapers to buy. And yes, that's right. And there were times that we wanted Noah to hurry up and get here. Hurry up, Noah. We want to see you. Hurry up and get here. But there are some things that just cannot be rushed. Noah arrived when God said that it was time for Noah to arrive. Now, if you listen to the stores and to the advertisements, they will say, Christmas is coming, so come buy stuff. Christmas is coming, go buy your presents. Christmas is coming, buy the food and plan the meals. Christmas is coming, put up the decorations. Christmas is coming, make those travel plans. But the church says, Christmas is coming, make sure the baby has a place to stay. And so, about 400 years after Jesus was born, the church said, we're going to create a season that's going to be 4 weeks long, and the whole idea of those 4 weeks is going to be getting ready, making sure that there's a place for the baby. The chancel choir sings a song many Christmases, many Advent seasons, I should say. They're not doing it this year. But it says, in one of the lines, it says, we know good news will be here soon. A blessed one shall come. Prepare in us a warm heart, a place to keep your son. The place that we prepare for the baby is right here in our hearts. And that's what we do during the season of Advent. So during the next 4 weeks, you're going to be hearing about how we can prepare for that magical day when God came to earth as a baby. Would you pray with me? I'll pray, and then you can say amen with me at the end. Dear God, thank you for the church leaders who helped us learn how to get ready for the birth of your son by creating the season of Advent. As we journey through this time, help us to prepare our hearts for the arrival of your Son. And all of God's children said, Amen. Thank you, guys.
Standing, please, as we share the gospel
from the 36th chapter of Matthew. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. It was June, and we had just embarked on a C-130 aircraft from Myrtle Beach Air Force Base. The plane was headed east, when all of a sudden it banked to the left, made a 180-degree turn, and headed west. I was on board, along with others of us who had been deployed, and my NCOIC was sitting next to me, and I looked over at him and I said, it's going to be a lonely, difficult Christmas.
And that was June. Christmas is that time of year, and Advent is that time of year that we think about all year long. We make plans with our family. We make preparations months and months in advance about what the meal is going to be and who is going to bring what. We even set aside money and we call it our Christmas club savings account. I asked Linda the other day, and how much do we have to spend for Christmas? Thinking about the children and thinking about what we want to do. Philip Yancey went to his Rocky Mountain cabin in midwinter there to read the scriptures from beginning to end and there to assess what he thought the entire Bible spoke to his heart. At the conclusion, he said, "It's a love story. It's a jilted lover's story. It's the story of God loving us and being jilted over and over and over again." Have you ever been jilted? You don't have to raise your hand. I will never forget one day I called who I thought was my girlfriend. I said, "And who is your boyfriend?" And she said, "Jeff." My name's not Jeff. I had been jilted. I still remember it to this day, even though I might have been 14. It's a painful experience. And so as we enter this Advent season and we think about God's amazing love to us, and we quote that scripture, "For God so loved the world," and we think about the times that God has been rejected, and here we are in the midst of this Advent season, this time of preparation, this time that says Christ is coming, but not yet the second time. And we hear again the story of how people were living in the days of Noah. They were enjoying life, but a few of them were prepared. A little girl was standing in front of a store window looking at a nativity scene, and she noticed that the baby Jesus was missing. And she cried out, "Mama, they have stolen Jesus." I talked with a store clerk one day, and we were looking at various nativity scenes, and she said to me something that I remember to this day. The one item that keeps missing when we put these things on display is the baby. People will come by and steal the baby. It's that season of the year when we want to make sure that in all the preparation and all the things that we do, that we don't allow the things that we get involved in, the Black Fridays and all the other things, we don't allow them to steal our baby. We don't allow them to take from us the whole reason for this season. And as Larry has mentioned, this is the first Sunday of our new church year. And as we think about all those things that we get involved in as a church, from the building of the ramps to the feeding of people and giving out food to the clothes that we give away during this season, especially the clothes closet, all those things that we do during the year, let us continually be reminded that we do these things because of our faith, because of our belief that ready or not, Jesus is coming. I remember when I was a little boy, we'd be out playing on the Mill Village out in the back alley, as we called it. If we would play those games and somebody would say, okay, you've got to count to 50. And you'd hear the count go down, 49, 50, ready or not, here I come. And a whole excitement would bust out among us kids as we would start running and trying to get the base and trying to do all, and such is Christ. In the days of Noah, there were some that were ready. And the question for us to ask ourselves today, am I ready? We don't want our Merry Christmas to be a bust. We don't want our joyful time to be such an emotional time that we have no joy. I remember one day walking down the stairs in the hospital, and it was close to Christmas. And the young lady was crying. And I stopped and I talked to her. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry that you're crying. Is there anything wrong? And she said, oh, there's nothing wrong. I said, ma'am, I'm a minister and I don't mean to argue with you, but it's been my experience that people don't sit down on the stairwells in a hospital and cry when there's nothing wrong. And she began to tell me the story, and you can imagine what it was, of sickness, of loved ones who had consumed all their time and the money that had been spent, and children were at home. And I said, ma'am, I just want you to know that there are people in this world, and I'm one of them. And I represent a whole lot more people at church that care about you and care about your Christmas and care about the hope that you have. And I want you to know that we'll respond. I said, we'll reach out to you. I said, you don't have to not have a Merry Christmas. Because the babe of Bethlehem, the one who came and was born in a manger, causes us to care and causes us to love and causes us to reach out. And if you'll give me your phone number, I'll call you. And she gave me the number and we responded in love. Christ calls to us during this season, and not only this season, but always, to prepare our hearts, to be in tune. In the midst of our marrying and giving in marriage, in the midst of our doing the things in normal life, let us not forget to prepare our hearts and our lives for the advent of Jesus Christ. One will be at the well, one will be taken, another left. One will be laboring in the mill, one will be taken, another left. Let us make sure that in this Advent season, our hearts are prepared for Him. He's coming, ready or not. Amen. Closing hymn, number 206, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. Along with me, please, in their bulletin. It is a responsive benediction, so if you will get your bulletin. Go in anticipation of God's grace and mercy.
We go in anticipation
of Jesus' love and forgiveness. Go in anticipation of the Holy Spirit's presence and comfort and hope. Go in peace.
Go in peace.